Rock Station 97.7 now presents Slippery Rock University Football.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Rock Football here from Memorial Stadium in Clarion. It's game number 8 of the Rock season. Slippery Rock University Football here today on the Rock Station 97.7, streaming at 977rocks.com and at rockathletics.com. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Bob Cuff along with Tyler Friel here as we get set for the Milk Jug game. The Rock entering today's action 6-1 overall. They are currently 4-0 in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division. They are the only undefeated team in the PSAC West, so in sole possession of first place entering today's game, thanks to a loss by California last week. While Clarion enters the game 2-2 in the PSAC West, they are 4-3 overall. The Rock coming in with a 5-game winning streak today and hoping to retain the Milk Jug for the 7th try in 8 games. The Milk Jug Trophy introduced back in 2010. The Rock 7-1 in this series, but the last time we were here, things didn't go so well as Clarion snapped a 6-game skid in the series that year on their home field, and it was just the second Clarion win in the series since all the way back in 2004. So, interesting matchup today and a lot of cards on the table with regard to the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Western Division final standings or that championship game, and certainly setting the tone going into next week's game at California. Good afternoon, Tyler Friel. We've got a beautiful-looking day right now after an ugly start.
It turned into a sunny day, but wind definitely going to be a factor today, and we'll see how that plays into the kicking game. But the flags up top, the goalpost are moving pretty steady from left to right as we're watching it here. So, we always talk about how important special teams can play, and obviously what Jake Chappell's been able to do for the Rock, giving them an opportunity to attempt field goals that really, not too many teams in the PSAC do. So we'll see how that factors in. We'll see how the wind factors in. But all in all, very nice day.
This is the 81st time these two teams have met, and we date this back to 1910, kind of what we talked about with the Edinburgh series. These are two rivals, no doubt about it. The Rock leading the series 53-24-3 all time, have won 18 of those last 21, including that 24-9 victory last year at the Rock. But as you can see, low-scoring game. That seems to be the mantra of the Golden Eagles.
Clarion is built on their defense. If they're going to win football games, it's because they don't allow as many points as the other guys. Not that that's how most people win football games, but it's built on their defense. Can they stop what is a really a potent offensive attack from the Rock? And we're now seeing it from both sides. Obviously, we've been talking about it all season long, what Roland Rivers has been able to do. This was a team that really didn't have a quarterback there for the first few weeks of the season, but number 14 growing comfortable in that starter role, really seeing the field well. So we'll see how that offensive passing and rushing attack will go against Clarion. And Sean Lutz telling us in the pregame, this is going to come down to the Rock offensive line versus the Clarion's defensive line. Who's going to win the battle in the trenches? Who sets the tone? And I know you and I were talking on our way up today. You just feel like if Slippery Rock were to win the coin toss, I'd want to get the ball, go out and have that first drive where you establish the game plan you want and show, hey, we're going to come in here, we know what we're doing, and we're going to execute to a team.
And execution is going to be the key, and keeping it clean, too. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a day where they can't rack up the penalties because you're going to face a very disciplined team. They're going to give you 60 minutes, and you're going to have to give 60 quality minutes as well in response. Last week, the first 30 minutes went pretty well, putting up 45 points against Edinburgh. You almost need that kind of response. I'm not saying put up 45 points, but I think you really, the key today is going to be coming out and maybe putting up a quick 2-touchdown lead because Clarion hasn't proven that they're a team that's going to be able to score with you.
No, you look at the stats, and obviously there are stats and averages for a reason. Now at this point, you've played X amount of games, and you have a pretty good idea of what you're doing. You're looking at a Slippery Rock offense that averages 42.1 points per game. You're looking at a Clarion offense that only averages 24.3. So there's a wide discrepancy when you're looking at offense. So if Slippery Rock is able to see the offense and have the offensive attack that they had last weekend, we're going to see, I think, Bob, a very similar result. But if Clarion can get pressure in the face of Roland Rivers and stymie this Rock offense of attack coming out of the gate, it's going to be a close battle.
The Rock is led by Coach Sean Lutz in his third year as head coach, 21-8 overall record, while Chris Weibel is now in his fourth season leading the Clarion Golden Eagles, his 15th season overall, both longtime assistants with their programs. And, of course, Chris Weibel used to play here at Clarion. This is his alma mater. While the Rock enters the weekend knocking on the door of the Division II national poll, they've been getting votes for the last 2 weeks. Yeah, we've had that discussion this week. We felt they deserved to be in the top 25, but not there yet. Mm-hmm. You keep winning, that'll take care of itself. Most importantly right now, you're looking at the fact that you're in the driver's seat to host a Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference mm-hmm. championship. That's what you really want.
Those rankings look cool to the public, but the guys inside the locker room and the people that matter know, hey, we control our own destiny. So whether or not there's a double digit or one digit to the left of Slippery Rock's name really isn't all that important to them. Can they win the PSAC West? They have an opportunity to do that. Control their own destiny. Obviously, you don't want any slip up here. You got that big game coming up next week against Cal, which could just determine who wins the PSAC West. But we talked about it last week, you know, coming off a big win against IUP, they were able to put any of those missed to bed. You know, they did a nice job coming out of the gate last week. And so you're hoping to avoid that trap game mentality. And really talking to Coach Lutz this week, you didn't get the mentality that they were overlooking this Clarion team.
Yeah, I think the legacy that these two teams have mm-hmm. keeps you from overlooking the Golden Eagles for sure. So it will be an interesting day ahead. The last meeting with the Rock, with Clarion, the Rock jumped out to a 24-3 lead at halftime. And again, that's what we're talking about doing here today. But that was at home, and it ended up being a 24-9 victory. But it was a close matchup as neither team managed to reach 250 yards of offense. And Clarion actually outgained the Rock in that game last year. But it was the Rock defense that tallied 19 tackles for a loss and 7 sacks, led by school record performances by Marcus Martin, who had 4.5 sacks in the game. But we don't have a Marcus Martin here today. But we do have a pretty good defensive line. And no doubt they have been playing some great defense. We'll talk more. Tyler goes down to the field to meet with Coach Lutz coming up next as we continue our pregame on The Rock Station 97.7.
Bottled Water and Coffee Service is very proud to announce their partnership with Pioneer. Pioneer is the first of its kind whole house lead and cyst removal system. This is powerful news for you and your family. You've heard the reports. Communities everywhere are being affected by concentrations of lead in the water. Don't take chances with you or your family's health. Call Negley's today for a water consultation at 724-282-6160. Not only does Pioneer remove heavy metals such as lead, it also removes and reduces chlorine, chloramine, and other harmful contaminants in your water. Call Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service today. The Pioneer Whole House Lead Removal System only at Negley's. Butler Steel Supply, 145 Valvoline Road in East Butler. Whether it's commercial or residential, they can do it. Need a unique job done? Whether it's fabrication or welding, shaping, punching, or need something custom, Butler Steel Supply can and will do it for you. Custom fire rings, toys to tanks, it's Butler Steel Supply. ButlerSteelSupply.com.
Looking for a great price on a clean, dependable pre-owned car? Then head to Honda North. Browse over 7,000 pictures of our used car inventory easily at HondaNorth.net. Every pre-owned car undergoes a 182-point inspection and comes with free Carfax report. And buying from Honda North comes with benefits, free PA state inspections, free service loaner cars. And at Honda North, every fifth oil change is free. Buying a pre-owned car is a big deal. At Honda North, we'll help you find the right car for you. Honda North, more cars, lower prices. Just try us.
This is Trey Blanford, defensive lineman at Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football on The Rock Station.
And we're back here at Memorial Stadium as Slippery Rock University gets set to meet with Clarion. Last week for The Rock, 45 points in the opening half, on their way to a 59-28 victory over Edinburgh and a homecoming victory. And the Rock scoring in 9 of their first 10 offensive possessions. In fact, the first 6 possessions they had, they scored until a turnover on downs when they went for it on 4th down, which we all thought they gained, but the officials didn't give it to them. But nonetheless, it should be an exciting day here today. Clarion got off to a great start last week against number 23, Indiana. They were up 20-0 after one quarter, but only got 3 more points the rest of the way, and IUP ended up coming back winning that game 24-23. Donner Friel has made his way down to the field, and he is sidelined with head coach Sean Lutz.
Down on the field with Coach Sean Lutz. Coach, in Clarion, you guys are obviously in pretty good shape right now. What's the game plan looking like today? What are you looking at?
I tell you what, it's just PSAC West play, man. I tell you what, Clarion's were fired up, ready to play us. You know, that's a good football team. They had IUP down 20-0, and IUP came back and beat them. But anytime we play Clarion, you look the last couple years, it's always a dogfight. So, you know, we want to bring that milk jug back today. We just got to continue to worry about what we can control. We want to make sure we're disciplined, we execute, and we're focused. We do that, I feel good about our chances anytime we play anybody.
Good week of practice?
Yeah, we had a good week of practice. These guys, it's over. and done with last week's game. And if we wanted to have an opportunity, we sit alone in first place, we control our own destiny right now. But no one's overlooking anybody. It's right now at this time, and we're ready to go.
Biggest key to coming out with a win today?
Biggest key, in my opinion, is going to be they got a tough damn defense. Their defensive line's really good. It's going to come down to our offensive line, I really think, against their defensive line. They got a lot of veterans coming back. We got to be able to run the football. We've been doing a good job of that, but I think that's going to be the biggest key in this game.
All right, thanks, Coach. Good luck.
Hey, thank you, and go Rock.
All right, well, he sounds like he's fired up, and we're fired up and ready to go here today as the captains are meeting midfield. And of course, Roland Rivers III. He last week was the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Athlete of the Week for the Western Division, accounting for 485 yards of total offense and six touchdowns in three quarters against Edinburgh. And that's the second weekly award that he has received. Great breakout game last week for Jermaine Wynn, a transfer in from Alderson Broaddus. He'd been threatening to have a big game for a while now and finally broke through with six catches, 119 yards, and three touchdowns. And those three touchdowns coming in successive series, which was very, very impressive last week. And Wes Hills in the backfield really arguably had his best game, even though he had 164 yards in the season opener before leaving week two with just two plays in with an injury. He really looked like a workhorse last week and looked very strong. Of course, the defense, a little bit of yardage it gave up last week, but still has been very solid. Linebacker Brad Zaffram really did a nice job last week, and he has been leading this defense with total tackles, 41, including 5.5 tackles for a loss. Last week, he had six tackles and really made an impact, had a big tackle for a loss last week that we heard up in the booth. He's been really setting the tone behind that very impressive defensive line. So we've got the action set to go here. Clarion is going to receive the ball here, and we'll get set for action here this afternoon. Bob Cup, Tyler Friel are with you from Memorial Stadium here in Clarion. And a beautiful day right now. The day did not start off pretty, that's for sure. But the window has opened up, and was watching the forecast. It really looks like we've got about a pretty solid two-hour window where it should be dry, and that was going to be a concern with the chance of rain. Does that affect the throwing of the ball? How does that change the landscape of this game? And right now we are dry. Sunshine overhead, and it looks like we're going to be dry at least until 2 o'clock, hopefully for the entire game. We'll see how it goes. Sun's out right now. The Rock is going to be kicking off, and they will kick kind of into a swirling wind right now, but it's a pretty strong breeze coming in where they will be kicking the ball too deep to Clarion. Tyler Friel back with us here. And Tyler, sounds like Coach Lutz was a little fired up and ready to go today, huh?
I was telling you a little bit off air, you know, whenever you're just walking down on a football field, you just get that it's just a good vibe going on the sideline. You just get the edge to go out there and hit someone. And I always sometimes wonder if the head coach is thinking the same thing, you know, go back to his playing days of West Virginia. You just get that football feeling in your gut, and I think that's where he's at right now. It's a big game for the Rock. You know, they understand that they control their own destiny. There's good reason to be fired up, and the head ball coach definitely is.
Well, here we go. Here is Jake Chapla's boot. And it's going to be a short one taken by an up back at the 10 across the 15, 20. Here comes the pursuit, and he's snowed under as he gets to the 22, and that's where Clarion will start out first and 10 as the sun shines very brightly at the moment. But that was number 22 for Clarion. The return man, Scott Florence, a running back junior out of New Brighton, Pennsylvania. And the Rock defense comes on, led again, as we said, by Brad Zaffram, who had a very impressive game, and you and I both heard that tackle for a loss last week, which was impressive.
He was flying all around the football field. They need a heck of an effort from that front seven. Zaffram, Vernick, and McDonald all playing that linebacker position.
North Allegheny quarterback Jeff Clemens leads the offense. Malik McGriff is sidecar right, and it's McGriff with the first handoff of the game. He goes into the pile and immediately is hit after a one-yard gain. The Rock defense ready to play here this afternoon, and Tim Suave leading that charge and the tackle.
Yeah, we know McGriff is really the guy that they want to stop. They want to force Jeff Clemens to throw the ball today, and if they're able to get the ball in the air from Clarion, then I think that's exactly what the Rock want.
Second down and 9. Actually, they gave him a 2-yard gain on that, so we'll say second and 8. And we've got a double backfield now as they add in fullback who goes into motion, and a keeper for Clemens. He goes right up the middle, and he's going to slide for the first down. Little run-pass option there, and he ran that one beautifully. Saw the hole, jumped through it, crosses the 35 for the first down.
Yeah, nice little play design, simple speed option. They send McGriff out to the right outside, contain, rolls with him, and then Clemens just sees a wide open hole pop out after the left guard comes around, pulls it, clears it out. A lot of room for the quarterback to run, and he took advantage of it. Smart decision making.
He got 12 yards on that one. First and 10, Clarion on the move in their own territory now. First and 10. And in the shotgun is Clemens as the fullback, Kelsey, goes into motion. It's a throw across the middle, and it's caught by number 17. And that's Dana Jackson, and he's got another first down out to midfield, out to the 50-yard line.
Yeah, they cross the fullback, a little crossing route underneath. Fullback comes in motion. They also send the slot receiver. They just crisscross him right underneath, a little bit mixed signals between the linebackers. They got the matchup they wanted, and it was another first down for Clary. Nice play design, good execution.
Yeah. So first down after the 12-yard grab. And in the shotgun goes Clemens again. And you've got McGriff, sidecar right. And it is going to be McGriff. He goes right up the middle, and a host of tacklers drag him, but he pulls them for about a 3-yard carry.
He's a powerful back. I mean, he's listed at 5'9", 185, but you look at him. I mean, he's a physical runner. And at least in what we've seen from the early going, he's not afraid to just put it right up the middle, put his head down, and try to pick up a few yards.
So it'll be a second down and 6. Ball into Rock territory now for Clarion, down to the 46. In the shotgun goes Clemens. He sends McGriff in motion into the slot. Now it's an empty backfield set with 5 receivers. Clemens looks to dump it across the middle. He's got McGriff, and he's tackled, but not before he gets a first down inside the 40, down to the 38.
Again, Clarion getting the matchups they want. They send McGriff out to the slot. That means Zaffron comes over to cover him. They do a 5-yard and in route. Again, one-on-one coverage. It has to be an accurate timing pattern by Clemens. He connects. They pick up the first down. They're just dinking and dunking their way down the field right now. But, you know, really proving that if you're taking those 5 yards, you're going to be able to move the chains.
And that's an 8-yard grab. The earlier throw to Jackson was for 15, actually. So down into Rock territory, marches Clarion. Now here's an inside route, and he's going to punch it outside. That's McGriff. He initially was going to go up the gut, spotted something to the outside, but good containment to that outside, and it actually goes for no gain.
Yeah, the left tackle who just checked into the game for Clarion, he got the start. Jacob White Knight doing a nice job of sealing the edge. Chad Kuhn, though, holding, being able to hold with that block, forcing that run to be strung out to the left, and then Dalton Holt coming in and closing it down. Dalton Holt, who has really stepped up here in that safety role over the past few games.
The Rock in their white jersey with gray pants, green numbers, as Clarion moves right to left. Here's the snap, and it's a handoff again. McGriffin, he's going to try to stretch it to the outside, and this is going to be a tackle for a loss as Tim Suave was immediately in there and then assisted by Dalton Holt. And also looked like was that Bobby Vernikin on the tackle as well? No, Chad Kuhn with him. And a great, great job by that front getting to their ball carrier.
This is going to be a matchup. You know, who wins this battle inside the trenches? Again, talking earlier this week with Sean Lutz, they felt if they stopped McGriff, having Clemens beat them through the passing game was going to be something that was going to work in their favor. So obviously they have been able to keep him in check. And more importantly, now we'll have it at a third down and 14.
Yeah, it's a loss of 4 back to the 42. In the shotgun goes Clemens. Sidecar right is McGriff. And they hand it off to him, and he's snowed under, tripped by one of the defensive linemen up front who snowed him under after a 1-yard gain. So it's going to be a punting situation. So the Rock defense stiffens very quickly. I don't know if that was
I don't know, maybe if they were looking to try to make it 2-down territory with a little bit of a run up the middle. You know, you've been able to check down at least on this entire drive to just go with a fullback dive is kind of a bizarre choice on a 3rd down and 14.
Yeah, absolutely, especially when you've been able to throw the
ball.
Yeah. So, but it's a punting situation, and back deep is Eric Glover-Williams. He's standing at his 10, and he's going to wave that off. It's going to hit about the 8, take a rock bounce, actually, fortunately, and it's going to be down to just about the 8-yard line, and that's where Slippery Rock will start first and 10. I believe it was that Jeff Marks or Trey Blanford in on that initial tackle for a loss, but great work. By the Rock defensive line on that particular drive to slow things down.
It was Jeff Marks that got pressure in there.
After consecutive gains for the first 5 carries, first 5 plays, that is, shut him down with no gain, a -4 and a -1. Now here comes the Rock offense out at the 10:26 mark of the opening quarter. No score from Memorial Stadium. And Roland Rivers, the Rock quarterback, the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference Player of the Week. He's sidecarred by running back Wes Hills, who will be to his right. And we've got trip receivers split up top. In motion goes Wes Hills. Roland Rivers going to hit him on a screen pass. He's got some running room. Puts his head down. He goes across the 10. Is out to the 12. Maybe the close to the 14. And that's going to be a six-yard grab on the screen pass.
And we've seen The Rock incorporate those swing screen passes a little bit here over the past few weeks. It's a very comfortable, safe throw for Roland Rivers. But it also allows you to identify what type of defense you're seeing from Clarion. Are they going man-to-man or are they going zone?
And now they'll spread those trip receivers near side. It's another screen. It's Jermaine Wynn who catches it, runs into one of his own men, Austin Scott, and bounces out of it. But he ran backward, unfortunately, and is dropped back to the 14. And that'll be no gain.
Yeah, he actually had a seal. I think if he would have been able to go off the inside of Austin Scott, who did a nice job of holding his block, he would have been able to get a maybe 2-3 yard gain. Try to make the big play happen. Sometimes you just have to be comfortable with getting a gain of two and making it a short third down.
As a result, it is third and four at this moment. Henry Litwin waving furiously over to the other side. And might be a bit of a change in the play here as Roland Rivers calls the signal, takes the snap, hand off Wes Hills. He goes inside, turns it up, and gets the first down across the 25 to the 26, maybe the 27. Just shy of the 27. Boy, he went up the gut there and just kicked it to the outside for the first down.
That's when you see his field vision. He does a nice job of reading gaps, exploding through them. Powerful yet athletic runner. I mean, we call it a little bit of thunder and lightning just with him in the back. He can be powerful and then make a dance move to get out of a tackle.
Now on first down, he kicks it to the outside. He's going to be tripped up that time as he goes forward and picks up 1 yard. And I thought that was just a great move, actually, by Wes as the pursuit was coming in, and he just fell forward to make sure he gained a yard.
Yeah, give credit to the end there, Vaughn Wallace, for clearing. He was just able to hold his block and an arm out there, which forced Wes Hills to go even more to the outside, allowing the secondary members to come in and hold him for just a short gain.
So that 1 yard carry after the 13-yard plunge for first down. 8:35 on a turning clock, first quarter. Second down, and a short nine for The Rock. Dumps it across the middle, does Roland Rivers. Clarion saying it's incomplete, and the side judge comes off and says it was. Jermaine Wynn felt he had it. It would have been good for a first down, but they say he didn't pull it in.
And you had the inside referee there, the umpire who sits in the middle of the field. He turned around and saw it. He didn't say it was incomplete. Like you said, it came from the side judge. But that throw's got to be better. It's got to be on target. You had a look at it. He just threw it low right out Jermaine Wynn's feet.
That sets up now a third and long, third and nine for The Rock. Again, they're at the Slippery Rock 28-yard line. And the first long situation on third down of the day. Here's Roland Rivers dropping back. Has plenty of time. Now he's going to kick it to the outside. Still looking. It's nothing there. He's going to have to run. Now he's going to put it up downfield. Austin Scott trying to break under it, but he threw it out of bounds. And that one just didn't work out for The Rock. It's going to be a punting situation, incomplete. Roland Rivers had a lot of time, but good coverage downfield by the Golden Eagles.
Give credit to Clarion. They were able to stay on their men the entire way, including Austin Scott, who Roland Rivers, I like the idea. You know what, just take a shot deep, even if they intercept it. It's just like a long punt. And so he did a nice job of extending the play. Really didn't have any room to run, so he opted just to chuck it deep. Unfortunately, went out of bounds. No big deal. Smart play, but give, like you said, Bob, Clarion credit for a nice coverage.
So Jake Chaplow will be on to punt. And back deep is Dorian Johnson. He's the punt returner for the Golden Eagles. He'll be standing at his own 36. And here comes the boot by Chaplin. It is high and forces Jackson all the way over to the 36 on the far side, but he's pulled backward before he gets the ball, and that's going to be a flag against Slippery Rock.
Yeah, Mark Carter got down there, and for some reason he just threw an arm into the return man for Clarion, and that's going to be a killer. We've talked about this all season long. Easy, preventable mistakes, like not running into the returner. And that was what Carter did.
Kick out to interference. Number 31. 15 yards from the spot of foul. First down.
And so there you have the referee call, and that's going to give Clarion field position across the 50 into Rock territory to the 49. And this is something that they fought last week with the kick returns with Edinburgh, giving a prime field position. And that was a concern of Coach Sean Lutz.
Yeah, I mean, here you look right now, Clarion on the other side of the 50-yard line with preventable mistakes. Special teams, you have to win that battle. They could be hugely influential in how a game shakes out.
Now they'll go with a double back offense and shift out of that as number 36, Devin Clark, goes in motion. And it's a handoff up the middle to McGriff, and he's actually driven backward for a yard loss on that carry. So now, Tyler, you've had three consecutive plays of negative yardage forced by the Rock defense.
They're doing a nice job of just pushing the line back off the ball. The front four for the Rock are getting a nice push. They're getting into the backfield, reading gaps, and here's the other thing. They're tackling well. We saw that last week with a problem. Granted, Walter Fletcher, one heck of a running back, but you got to be able to bring guys down. They're doing that so far with McGriff.
Trip receivers to the near side. That's the Clarion sideline. Again, Jeff Clemens at quarterback out of North Allegheny for Clarion, and he takes the snap in the shotgun, and he's going to run it right up the middle again, that run-pass option. We saw this before, and he gained a first down the last time he carried it, and he does it again and carries this one into Rock territory down to the 36-yard line.
Yeah, that was a design. They sent those three wide receivers on the near side of the field on a streak pattern, allowed the front four to get a decent push, and Clemens just took off running because that moved Timmy Vernick, who normally plays that middle linebacker position. He went out onto coverage, so really that inside was not taken by any Rock defenders. It was left wide open. Great call by Clarion. They saw the matchup they liked, and they took advantage of it.
And he ran for 14 that time. Now here's a handoff to McGriff inside. And he's going to be snowed under as he gets to the line of scrimmage. He'll get one out of it, pushes the ball a little bit across the 46, not even to the 45, so really, 36. So really no gain on the play, but we'll give him a couple inches.
Yeah, but these are huge. I mean, then you're putting Clarion in that second down and long where they feel the need to throw the ball. Obviously, they haven't done it all the time, but I think that's a coach's mentality that, look, we got to go to the air. And like I said, that's what they want Jeff Clemens to do.
The ball foot away from the 35, so we'll make it a second and long nine. McGriff is now sidecar left to Clemens. Here's the snap, and it's going to be a play action. Clemens has time. Throws high. It is pulled down, and a great grab right in front of the Rock defender, that being Mark Carter. And, that was a nice grab to the 32-yard line.
Yeah, Devon Holton. I mean, he doesn't have all that big of a frame, 5'11", 165, but he got up there. Mark Carter doing a nice job on coverage. I mean, he played right behind him, and obviously did a nice job of bringing him down. It was just a short gain, but one heck of a catch.
So gain of three for number 85 for Clarion, and it sets up a third and about six at this moment. Clemens will have sidecar left. He goes into motion up into the slot. That's McGriff. Here's the snap. He drops back. Here comes pressure. He dumps it off. He's got the first down. As he hits the same receiver, Devon Holt.
Yeah, right now Clarion getting those slot matches with linebackers, and right there you had Holt working against Tim Vernick, and Tim Vernick just slipped and fell. And so they were able to get a wide open Holton, and a nice easy throw for Jeff Clemens. And I think that's what the game plan is right now offensively for the Eagles. Can they get those one-on-one matchups with linebackers in the slots?
And my apology, that was Mark Lewis, the second out of Maryland, the receiver that got the first down. So it's first and 10, Clarion, and they're down to the Rock 22. In motion goes number 81, Lewis, and he goes to the top side, and it's a handoff right up the middle, and he is going to be snowed under for a loss, a big tackle backward against McGriff, and he'll lose one.
It was Brad Zaffrom. That guy just plays a physical brand of football. He's going to be able to make sure you remember that name and number whenever he puts you down on the ground. It was a tackle that actually, I'm surprised, maybe could have drawn some laundry, but the officials decide to let it go. That's just a guy throwing someone down.
So five of the last six carries by McGriff have gone for either no gain or negative yardage.
And again, putting them down, second down and 10, second and 9, in this case, second and 11.
Ball back to the 23. Clemens in the shotgun. Now in motion to the slot goes McGriff again. Five receiver set, three receivers up top. Clemens, he's going to be forced out of the pocket, and he's going to throw a wild pass. Tried to screen it off to the outside and just threw it about 4 yards behind his intended receiver, who was number 85 for Clarion, that being Dervon Holton again, and the ball is incomplete. It'll set up a third and 11.
Yeah, I think just some miscommunication there. I believe Clemens thought Holton was going to come back to the ball toward the sideline. Instead, Holton just went up the middle of the field, and so you had two guys just not on the same page, and just like that, you're looking at a third down and long.
So let's see if the Rock defense can stiffen once again. They did on the opening drive to force a punt after Clarion had made the Rock territory, and here they are again, 4:12 mark of the opening quarter, no score. Here's the snap, and it's going to be blown dead.
We got a timeout.
Timeout taken by Clarion. Hey, we'll take a quick 30-second timeout as well and come back with no score and a third down facing the Golden Eagles. It's Rock Football here on The Rock Station 97.7.
Make it Agway all the time. It's Agway.
The Butler Agway, Route 68, just west of Butler, reminds you it's time to seed and feed.
It is,
you want a beautiful lawn in the spring, you got to do the work now.
I put
pick
it in
up
the
bags of fertilizer, lime, and don't forget the grass seed.
Yesterday.
Browse the pumpkins, gourds, and mums with
it
huge varieties
there,
ready to decorate. USA Pet Foods, always. And order your wild bird feed by October 15th for pickup October 31st. Sauerkraut crocks in every size, baskets, greeting cards, everything outdoors. Count on Butler Agway for seed, feed, and everything you'll need.
Rock Football on the station that rocks. The Rock Station, 97.7.
So a Clarion timeout, their first of the game here in the opening quarter on a key third and 11. The Golden Eagles wanted to talk it over. And now they come back out onto the field, led by quarterback Jeff Clemens. They will split receivers to the top side. Two receivers and one receiver near side with McGriff sidecar left. He's going to go in motion and go backside right. Now here's Clemens. He's looking near side. He wants the end zone. He throws it, and here comes a flag. Going to be a face guarding there as he tried to grab number 15, A.Z. Britt, and he threw the ball behind him, and the Rock going to be called for a penalty here.
I mean, not a well-thrown ball, but gave his wide receiver an opportunity to just come back to the ball, and as we know before, we've seen that one-on-one matchup, cornerback just focusing on the receiver, not turning his head back to the ball. And you've got an inexperienced cornerback there, Eric Glover-Williams, who came into this program from Ohio State as a wide receiver. Now just trying to learn that position almost on the fly. You're going to get situations like that. Clarion had that one-on-one matchup. Really the first time they've thrown the ball down the field, too. You figured that they were going to have to take a chance on it. They decided to target Glover-Williams, and it paid off for them.
Dervon Holton, again the intended receiver, did a nice job drawing that penalty. And it's one way to get a first down, that's
yes,
for sure.
It's a smart play call because, you know, you're looking at, you know, an inexperienced corner versus a good wide receiver who we've seen able to bring up balls that are thrown high. And then just right there, again, smart call.
And we'll be interested to see that matchup continue. Now they're going to put A.Z. Britt out on Glover-Williams on the near side as Holton goes to the top side. And it's first and 10. And actually a first and goal as they've spotted the ball down at the 8-yard line. Clarion on the move, looking to hit pay dirt first here today. And they'll hand it off to McGriff. He goes into the line. He goes to the 5, maybe just short of that. We'll say the 6, but he picks up 2 on the carry.
Again, they're holding him in check. They're doing a nice job of filling their gaps, not allowing McGriff room to run. And now we're going to get an injury timeout here. There's one Clarion members down. Looks like an offensive lineman.
Lineman down late here. No score, 3:53 mark of the opening quarter. Rock Football from Memorial Stadium in Clarion today, and a big, big matchup today for both teams, really. Clarion trying to stay relevant in the PSAC West, but the Rock trying to stay in first place, sole possession of first place, as a matter of fact. So injury timeout on the field.
Can't really get a number on it either, but like you said, I think it's an offensive lineman.
Yeah, he's down on the field. Let's take another 30-second timeout, and we'll come back after the break. This might take a bit. It's no score. You're listening to Rock Football on The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
A rock-solid education is a critical step in achieving life's goals. Choose from programs that lead to exciting careers in health, science, engineering, technology, business, communication, education, or the performing arts. With over 150 undergraduate majors and 30 graduate programs, Slippery Rock University has been the best choice, first choice, of students across the nation for 125 years. Slippery Rock University. Experience the difference. Learn more about SRU's innovative, flexible, and affordable programs by visiting sru.edu.
I'm Kyle Hall, also known as OG, playing DB for Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football. Go Rock.
I'm Jake Chapla, kicker here at Slippery Rock, and you're listening to Rock Football.
On The Rock Station, 97.7.
And we are back for a second down and 6, and the handoff goes to number 33, Malik McGriff, and he goes into the pile short of the 6-yard line. And it'll be a no gain on that particular play. So he set up a third and goal now from the 6-yard line as the clock spins down to 3:22. left in the opening quarter.
You have to wonder if Weibel's thinking about making this two-down territory. You're inside the five. You don't know how many trips you'll be down here during the course of the game. It may be worth it to try to go for six.
Well, let's see where they go. Third and six. They've got double receivers split to each side. McGriff, sidecar left. Here's the snap to Clemens. He drops back. He's looking topside, throws it to the outside, and it's almost knocked away by one of the Rock defenders. Mark Carter coming over on that play, and that's incomplete. Now makes it fourth and goal.
Yeah, what they did is they took the slot guy out, just went to the goal line. He turned a hard right. Slippery Rock defenders, I believe it was, it looked like Mark Carter was in on the coverage. I think there was another one there, Davion Franklin by chance. And those two guys did a nice job of reading the pass. Actually, I'm pretty sure Mark Carter had that go in and out of his hands. That could have been a, actually, with his speed, that probably could have been a pick six.
James Metzger will come out and try for the field goal to put Clarion on the board. And this will be a 23-yard attempt. Right up the middle. He's right in between, dead set, right between the hash marks. Here's the snap, and it's up and good. So Clarion draws first blood here today.
Yeah.
With a nice drive and a three-point conversion as the Rock falls behind here early, 3-0. And this is kind of the scenario we talked about. You wanted to come out and get that Rock offense gelling and then put some points on the board. And of course, they've only had the ball one time, but Clarion has moved the ball very effectively in their opening two drives.
Yeah, and they're taking long drives. I was actually going to ask if you have any time of possession on there, because it has to be very one-sided. This was, what, 2:55 to go in the first? Clarion's had the ball for quite some time.
Yeah, that was a little over 7 minutes.
Wow.
They started that drive at 8:09 on the clock, and they started at the Rock 49.
Yeah.
So they spent a lot of time for not a lot of yardage.
Well, that's it, but it's a smart game plan. If you're Chris Weibel, what's the best way to stop this Slippery Rock offense? Just don't put them on the field. And so, you know, you hold them to a three and out, get the ball, kill some clock. If they're not afraid to go to the run game, even though it's not super effective, it's still keeping that clock churning. They're able to hook up on a few pass plays, hit for a nice penalty. It was a well-designed drive. They just weren't able to find the end zone. And that's why I was kind of surprised you had an opportunity inside the five. I always think more coaches maybe should go for it down there. I understand the idea of getting points on the board, but you're knowing that this Slippery Rock offense is going to score at some point, and you're going to have to try to stay with them.
Eric Glover-Williams and Mark Carter are back deep, and it's a short kick as Glover-Williams grabs it at his 16, and he is upended over top of the 30 to the 32-yard line, so decent return, and he went sky high for that.
It was an athletic move.
2:51 mark of the opening quarter. The Rock now down 3-0. Well, they were down 7-0 very quick last week and responded rather handily. Let's see if the Rock offense can respond again here today.
Yeah, they had the play design, I think, on the drive. When you go back to that second down for the Rock, they had that screen play to the right side. I think they were expecting that to pick up a first down. It didn't. And to me, that just threw off their drive, because then that left them with a third and five. They decided to run a deep pass pattern. Just nothing was there.
It was a 5:14 drive, 11 plays, 43 yards, by the way. And here is a handoff to Wes Hills, and he's got positive carry across the 35, and they spot it out at the 38-yard line. That'll be a quick gain of 6 by number 4.
We were talking with Coach Luss how he thought they had the advantages at wide receiver going against his Clarion secondary, but, man, I would like to feed Wes Hills.
Here's 2nd and 4 now, and he's going to feed it again to him, and he's got a lot of running room. That actually was at Roland keeping the ball.
Yeah.
He faked it to Wes and took off, and he's got the first down, and that's the danger that this backfield presents. Scary for other teams to have to deal with. 14-4, and it's Roland Rivers for the first down.
You gotta have guys responsible for guarding both of them. They're about the same in stature, and they're very good runners.
And now here's a pass play across the middle, and it's caught by Mike Murhat, and he drops it. He looked like he was pulling it in to try to secure it as he readied himself for the hit, and it fell out of his hands, incomplete.
It was a nice hit. I didn't see who was on the coverage there for Clarion. I believe it was Chris Gildea. He's a safety for them, and he just came up and laid a nice hit on Mike Murhat. It was an inside slant pattern that Roland Rivers threw a nice ball on, and after being so effective with the run, they were able to get a wide-open look. Just give credit to the safety, Gildea, for coming in and making the tackle.
The Rock near midfield at their own 48. Roland Rivers goes to throw, and he is sacked, hammered to the ground by number 57 for Clarion. That's Alec Heldreth, and that's one of the guys, one of the seniors on that defensive line that Sean Lutz told us he was worried about.
6'4", 285. This guy's an athlete coming off the edge. And we know the Rock have had some turnover at that left tackle position. You have Chris Larson there right now who's battling a bad foot injury, but he's out there. And so you may have just a guy who's one heck of an athlete going up against an injured Slippery Rock offensive lineman. That time you had the big man and bringing down Rivers in the backfield.
Minus seven on the play on that sack. Roland never saw him coming. Now here's a screen pass out to the outside. Hills has some running room. He's got to cross the 50 into Clarion territory. He's going to be short of the first down, but gets the ball down to the 45-yard line. So a quick response, and number four toting the ball.
Yeah, I think we're going to see the Rock go for it here. Nope, he's going to send out the punt squad, it looks like.
Well, they're gathering up. It to be a fourth and three. And, yeah, here comes Jake Chapla. So they are going to kick the ball away. It will give an opportunity to really change field position with regard to what they've been dealing with. So a 14-yard grab, but after the sack, the Rock still had 3 yards to go. So they'll punt the ball away here near midfield. And it is number four, Dorian Johnson, back deep for Clarion. And here's the boot, and it's going to go right at him. And he's going to step back and grab the ball at the 8-yard line and a fair catch signal. And so Clarion going to start out first and 10 deep in their own territory with 33 seconds remaining in the first quarter, and they are up 3-0. So two Rock drives stalling, and they had to punt. That's something they didn't run into at all last week.
I think you got to be patient as an offensive coordinator or at least disciplined in this situation. You're getting, I would say, Bob, at least 5 yards a pop on the ground. I mean, they're moving the ball through the running game, whether that's Roland Rivers or Wes Hills or doing some of these bubble screens. You start to throw the ball, then you open yourself up to potential sacks, interception. And I'm not saying they shouldn't go to the air, but when you're moving the ball that effectively on the ground, take the yards they're giving you.
They're going to start out at the 8-yard line, first and 10. McGriff will join Clemens in the backfield. First and 10, and he's going to fake the pitch. Now he's going to run it up the middle, and this time the Rock is ready for it as they snow him under after a 1-yard gain. So he did the fake pitch and was going to do the old keeper, and this time the Rock containment was there.
Yeah, you had the left guard pulling on that particular play, and the guard decided to go out for the option as opposed to staying through and helping clear that hole, but a disciplined Rock defense was able to hold Clemens to a minimal gain, if any.
It was 1 yard gain. It'll be second and 9 when we return. That's the clock winding down to 0 right now. Boom. There we go. First quarter is in the books, and it's in favor of Clarion by a score of 3-0. We'll return for the second quarter of action here today on Rock Football. The Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
Chair Roofing and Construction provides residential services for both new and existing construction, from roof, siding, and gutter repair, replacement, maintenance, and cleaning, to full builds on decks, sheds, garages, barns, and pole buildings. Chair has you covered. Locally owned, Chair Roofing and Construction is fully insured and provides free estimates. They offer veteran and active military discounts, too. Chair Roofing and Construction. That's SHARRER. Route 8, Slippery Rock, 724-967-6860. And check them out on Facebook.
Protect your family with home safety supplies from Slippery Rock True Value. Right now, choose from a Kitty Nighthawk carbon monoxide alarm or a 10-year smoke alarm for just $19.99 while supplies last. The Nighthawk tracks changing carbon monoxide levels on a digital display, and the smoke alarm has a photoelectric digital sensor that detects particles associated with slow smoldering fires. Both are battery-operated, easy to install, and suitable for all living areas. Pick up these bargains of the month and other home safety ideas today at Slippery Rock True Value.
Rockin' the Rock. Slippery Rock University football is found right here on the Rock Station, 97.7.
We're back for the start of the second quarter as Clarion sends a man in motion. Clemens in the shotgun on second down. And he hands it off to McGriff. And here comes a flag in the interior of the line. And no gain on the carry. Let's see what the flag is. That might be in the vicinity of holding against Clarion.
I tell you what, I think about declining this. You're going to march him back maybe half the distance to the goal line. You held him to maybe a gain of one. You'd be looking at a third down and 10 as opposed to giving them another crack at it on second down.
Yeah, looks like what are they going to do? They're discussing it. With Coach Sean Lutz. So 66 yards, 19 plays for Clarion in the opening quarter. The Rock, 11 plays, 43 yards. But again, it is equated into a Clarion 3-0 lead. They've been in Rock territory twice now on their third series of the day and facing a third and long if it is declined. And no, they're going to take it and move the ball back to the 5-yard line. So it'll be a second and a very long 14.
I don't think there's a wrong decision there. You know, you're moving them back, and that's always a benefit to any coach, especially when they're going, you're going to have Clemens standing in the end zone whenever he receives the snap. So I'm sure that's playing into the mindset. But third down and long, you're just giving them another shot at it.
Well, here's a handoff to McGriff. He goes into the interior, and he does not get back to the 5-yard line. He'll lose another yard as the Rock defense was right there.
Yeah, they have been able to maintain McGriff in the backfield and Clemens at times whenever he tries to run, and they don't get cute with it. Rock just hitting their gaps, getting a good push off the ball, knowing where that ball is going to go. They get there, they gang tackle, and then they bring him down.
Third and 14 after no gain at the 4-yard line. And, boy, we talked pregame about the number of tackle for a loss scenario the Rock had against Clarion at home last year, and it's starting to add up already.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Big, big play of the game here. As number 13 goes in motion, that's Jimmy Murphy. And there's a pass to the outside, and this is thrown way downfield. The receiver fell down, almost like he was trying to draw something there, but that ball didn't have a prayer of being caught by anybody.
No, he stumbled coming out of the gate, and I think you're right. I think he then just fell into Dalton Holt, like, we'll see if I can try to sell this for a P.I. Officials weren't buying it, way over the head. They were trying to get one-on-one coverage with Dalton Holt over the top, but obviously, with him falling down, turned out to be a good decision by Coach Lutz, because now they're going to punt it actually right underneath the goalpost.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because they're going to get great field position potential here. So the option to kick by Sean is going to pay off here. Here comes the punt as Jermaine Wynn is back, and he's going to chase it down at the 39. And right down the sideline he goes, but he's going to be hit before he gets to the 30. They stop him at the 32, but great field position for Slippery Rock, almost in the vein of what Clarion was able to do with their previous drive when they put the 3 points up.
We talked about time of possession. You were looking after the first quarter. Clarion with the ball, 10 minutes and 20 seconds. The Rock with it for 4:40. And then I was also talking about the ground game. Wes Hill's averaging actually 6.7 yards per carry. He's only had it 3 times on the ground, but they're getting it. 4 decent yardage. That's why if I'm Justin Roper and the offensive staff for Slippery Rock, let's run the ball a little bit, set the tone, and then those other options will open up.
Harley, Merhot up top, it's Wynn and Scott, the receivers, with Wes Hill's sidecar to the right of Roland Rivers. First and 10, Slippery Rock in Clarion territory at the 33. They're down 3-0. In motion goes Merhot. He's coming to the near side. And it's going to be a play action for Rivers. He wants the end zone. He's throwing to the end zone. He has Jermaine Wynn breaking, but he throws it out of the end zone, incomplete, too far for number 9 to rein it in.
Yeah, that play was designed for Jermaine Wynn. Clarion did a nice job of getting 2 men over the top to cover it. The cornerback that was on Wynn, and then the safety that came over top, as we do have a Clarion defender down.
And I think it might have been that safety, the free safety, the strong safety, actually. Free safety went back to the backfield, and we'll see. Looks like Cameron Collins, the weak side safety, went down, and he's grabbing his ankle at the 5-yard line. So he was not part of that play. He was up front. And he does jump up. Now he's going to try to walk it off here, but he's going to have to take his time coming off the field. So a little bit of an ankle twist there for the Clarion defender. 13:34 mark of the second quarter. Clarion leads it here, 3-0, on a bright, sunny day, but windy here at Memorial Stadium. And Clarion, you're listening to Rock Football. Bob Cupp and Tyler Friel with you here today. We'll be live on the road next week as well as the Rock faces the Falcons of California here on the Rock Station. Here we go. Second and 10 now after the incompletion. Here's Roland Rivers. Drops back. Has time. Throws. Has Mike Merhot. And for the second time today, Mike Merhot forgot to do something. That was squeeze the ball and hold onto it.
Yeah.
And just a plain drop that time with really
that's
no pressure.
Yeah, that's a killer. It was a simple five and out route. Roland Rivers hitting Merhot in stride. And I think Merhot was just looking up the field before he actually reeled it in. You got to know, you catch the ball first, take the yards that are given to you, make sure you finish that catch.
And it's third and 10 now for the Rock. Hills will go in motion to the near side. That's the Clarion sideline. He takes the screen pass, and this one's going to be blown dead because the flag is coming in. That was going to be all for naught anyway. as Hills had the ball thrown high, and he was going to be sized up at that particular point by Dorian Johnson, defensive back, and they're doing some jawing back and forth right now, having some fun on the football field. But let's see what this flag is all about. Looks like it could be a hold against the Rock.
I think it's going to be a false start.
Okay.
I think we had a little bit of a shuffle on the right side.
All right, so they move the ball back across the 35 to the 38-yard line on the penalty. So it'll be third and 15 now for Slippery Rock. And this drive just not going anywhere. No momentum at this particular point. We've got trip receivers split near side here. Here's the snap. Rivers drops back. Here comes pressure. He's got to roll away from it. Using his speed, he's got some running room. He's got a long way to go to get the first down. He's going to try to get there, but he's shoved out of bounds shy of the 20. I think he's going to be a yard short, but I'm sure the Rock will go for it on fourth and one.
I think they will, too. You may be in Chapel's field goal range, but that wind is stiff from left to right, so in the face of Chapel. It looks like Lutz is opting to keep his offense out there. Clarion sending six on that play. They brought the safety off and tried to attack Roland Rivers. Luckily, Rivers uses his athleticism to make something out of nothing, extending the play, rolling to his left, and finding a lot of grass. And now you make it a very manageable fourth down.
He needed 15. He got 14. Now here's the handoff to Wes Hills. He goes into the pile. He's hit right at that yard marker. Let's see where they spot this. I think he's got it, but wait till they spot it.
According to the VAR judge, it looks like they're going to give it to him.
Let's see. They stacked it up quick, did Clarion.
They may measure this.
It's right at the yard marker necessary for the first down. They are going to call for the measurement.
I think he got it.
It sure looked like it. He got into the pile well, but it stacked up very quickly. And, you know, that's the thing. We talked about at the beginning of the game. This is going to be a day where the Rock offensive line is going to have to beat the Clarion defensive line. Coach Sean Lutz saying this was going to be the best defense the Rock has seen this year.
Yeah, and I think everybody in this stadium knew on fourth down and one who they were going to try to get the ball to. It was going to Wes Hills, so Clarion plugged up the middle, and the Rock, again, just trying to take their chances with their guys up front and a big running back in Wes Hills to see if they can move the chains, and we're going to get a good look at it right now.
Well, here comes the measurement. And, oh, he got it. No, he didn't. Literally by a quarter. You could probably stick a quarter in between the ball and the marker. And it goes over on downs to Clarion.
A big win for the Clarion defense. They've done a nice job of holding this Slippery Rock offense in check. The Ranches really have not been able to get anything going. And when they finally have a sign of life after an extended play by Roland Rivers, they're stopped short on a fourth down and one with Wes Hills. So Clarion has stepped up at the right times, including right there. As they're now first and 10 with the ball.
This is exactly what Clarion did to IUP last week.
Yep.
Frustrated them out of the gate. Jumped out to a 20-0 lead, and right now, fortunately, it's only 3-0 at this point, but Clarion will start over first and 10, and the ball spotted at their own 23-yard line at the 13:05 mark of the second quarter. Again, Clarion leading it here 3-0. And they're going to bring a double backfield set out with McGriff coming out along with number 22, Scott Florence, in the backfield. Now they'll put Florence in motion. Here's the snap to Clemens, and he's going to fake the pitch and go up the middle, and he's going to gain a couple, but good containment that time. Dalton Holt coming up, and in the interior, right out of the gate, is that Garrett Debian in the game, or is that Blanford? But they were there ready to...
I believe it was Blanford.
Debian is in the game there. He was in the late, but he'll push it forward for a yard, and they'll give him two, actually. So make it a second and eight from the... just shy of the 25-yard line.
Zaffram and Timmy Vernick doing a nice job of shooting their gaps. It was an option play designed to Clemens' left. He decided to hold it. Zaffram was right there along with other white jerseys to clog it up.
Here's the snap now, and he's going to go outside. Pass play out to Dana Jackson, and this one's going to go nowhere. No gain. Screen pass. Now we've got a late flag coming in, and that's on the near side.
Man,
the Clarion sideline. Might be some extracurriculars, quite possibly.
There was no one in the vicinity of where he threw that ball, or where he threw the flag, excuse me.
It was the head linesman, actually, that tossed the flag. And it was well after the play.
Personal foul Unnecessary roughness, number 52, defense. 15 yards, automatic, first down.
It is going to be against Slippery Rock. Personal foul, unnecessary roughness. So we talked about this, the discipline you had to have today, and this is one that's really going to hurt because now it's going to bring the ball, you know, deeper toward midfield, spot the ball just shy of the 40 at the 39.
Yeah, it would have been a third and long. And now you're looking at a first down and 10 while spotting them 15 yards as well. Your defense had made two nice plays. And like I said, you were setting them up for a third down and long. Get off the field, get your offense back out there. And a bad mistake. Clarion keeps the ball.
Well, here we go. In motion goes McGriff. He'll jump up into the slot. All alone is Clemens in the backfield. He takes the snap. Now he's going to throw it. And it's tipped up and pulled down for an interception by Brad Zafram. And there's a whistle. Let's see what this is about. Eric Glover-Williams got a hand on it, tipped it up in the air, and Zafram brought it down. And what's the discussion
here? They're not giving this ball to Slippery Rock right now.
They say an inadvertent whistle.
Wow.
Now the referee's going to discuss this. The ball was thrown, tipped up in the air by Glover-Williams. Zafram was there. Number one came down with it. Let's see what the referee has to say.
Inverted whistle on the play.
Oh.
Ball put at the previous spot. Replay first down.
Oh, my.
You want
so
to talk about.
So they take away the play itself, and Clarion retains the ball because of an inadvertent whistle.
That may be one of the worst things I've seen by officials in a long time. You want to talk about a bad, bad mistake to make. An inadvertent whistle.
So instead of an interception, it is Clarion first and 10. They retain the ball, and we go right back to where we were at the 39.
That is a game changer.
Yeah, because it would have been right about the 45, 44-yard line into Clarion territory, but nope. Clarion remains in their own territory, and it's first and 10 at the 11:53 mark of the second quarter. Here's the snap to Clemens, and he hands it off to McGriff, and McGriff has a momentary push forward, but is stopped quickly after 2 yards.
And these are where you have to mentally check back in. You just had a huge momentum swing ripped away from you. You still have to be actively engaged where you need to be. This is a mental checkpoint here for this Rock defense, for the Rock coaching staff. They have to make sure their guys are engaged with this because Clarion still has the ball. You cannot be thinking about what just happened.
And Tim Vernick is screaming at the referee right now. I don't know if he was held in the interior. He is very upset visibly.
You know, it's times like these two where you're allowed to get away with a little bit more than what you normally would be after that mistake.
Second and 7. In motion goes number 17, Jackson. And they play action. And they throw it inside. And, oh, hit and dropped by the receiver. And was that Mark Carter coming in and making that hit? Great job that time by Mark Carter. Separated the receiver from the ball, that being Jeremy Ford, I think. No, that was Alvin Ross.
Great coverage by Mark Carter. We saw that earlier. He's right on his guys. He was able to time that perfectly, hit the receiver as that ball was right in his breadbasket, forced it loose, and also Timmy Vernick on the play shooting up the middle, putting a nice hit on Jeff Clemens as he threw the ball, so you get him down on the ground, and you get a big hit on the wide receiver.
And that was Holton, actually. His shirt's rolled up a little bit, so I was trying to guess what one number was. McGriff going to move up into the slot again out of the backfield. Here's Clemens. Here comes pressure. He gets rid of it, and it's right to the 45-yard line, and I believe that is Jackson who pulled it in. It is, and it's going to be well short of the first down, 45-yard line. So it'll be a fourth and a long four, and I believe Clarion will be forced to punt. So the Rock going to dodge a bullet here, having an interception taken away from them, but they're going to get the ball back anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the field position thing is an issue, but I think that's going to be a big rallying cry for that Rock defense, for this Slippery Rock team as a whole. You have a turnover ripped away from you. Now you can say, you know what, we were able to gut check time. We stepped up. We forced a punt. Let's go. Let's get something rolling offensively.
Now they'll send Eric Glover-Williams back to his own 15 to receive the punt. Here's the snap. It's a good one. Here comes the kick. Oh, he shanked it off the corner of his foot, and it immediately goes out of bounds, barely across midfield. The Rock going to get the ball at their own 45. A huge, huge break as that punt went nowhere by Ryan Barr.
I'm not sure if Kyle Hall got a hand on there or not. He came charging through, and that may have been enough to force Barr to see a jersey and try to make an adjustment on the fly, an adjustment that he just wasn't able to make. So give Kyle Hall credit for shooting the gap, getting in there, providing a little bit of pressure. Like I said, he may not have got a hand on it, but I think he may have forced a bad punt from Barr.
Here we go with the first and 10. And it was a clean kick. He just didn't hit it. So here comes the Rock, first and 10. They're going to be near midfield in their own territory. And it is going to be Wes Hill's sidecar to Roland Rivers.
Now, right now, Weibel is talking with the officials, having an extended conversation as well.
Well, the officials owe the Rock one, not this sideline, that's for sure. We're at the 10-12 mark of the second quarter here. It is 3-0 in favor of Clarion. The Rock going to have the ball, though, first and 10. And split to the near side, you've got Austin Scott, Mike Merhot, Jermaine Wynn are on the near side. That's the Clarion sideline. The Rock going to be moving from right to left at this point. Henry Littman will be the other Rock receiver, and now they're going to trade sides with Austin Scott going to the top side, and Litwin will join the trio near side here. As the sun continues to shine here, they are expecting some rain to roll in here sometime around 2 o'clock. Let's hope it holds off and keeps this a dry football game. And the way things have started out for the Rock, they're going to need that because this one is a backyard scrapper at the moment. And we expected it to be just that here today. And we're finally set to go. I don't have any idea what the discussion was all about, but we'll move on and play some football now. First and 10, in motion, goes Wes Hills to the near side. He's going to take that screen. He grabs it, gets a nice block by Henry Litwin, and he's off for a first down. Goes out of bounds, but we do have a flag on the near side. They might get Mike Merhot on a hold.
I think they may call an illegal block in the back on Litwin.
He kind of got a pick going there, and I think, yeah, they are going to. Yep. Good job. Good job on the call there, Tyler. It is on Henry Litwin, an illegal block that set that up. We thought it looked good, but the officials didn't agree with us.
Now, I can see where they were coming from on that. Litwin just got behind the back of the cornerback who was coming in and trying to make the play, and that's obviously what opened up the big gap for Wes Hills. But it was a dangerous thrown ball as it floated out in the flats a little bit too long and a little bit too high. I think he's got to be, Rivers that is, has to throw with that screen pass with a little more zip.
So it moves the ball back to the 37, so the penalty's starting to add up here against Slippery Rock at the moment. Trip receivers topside now. Here's Wes Hills with the handoff. He's got some running room. He's going to get back that penalty. He's still on his feet as he crosses the 50 down to the 48-yard line. Big number four, dicing and moving.
I'm telling you, I think you got to start going with the run game here. On their last drive, they went to the air. It wasn't working. Wes Hills is just running downhill right now, punishing runs, and they're not stopping them. Feed Wes Hills until it doesn't work.
So the ball now into Clarion territory to the 48-yard line. Here's the snap. Hand off Hills. He's got the first down. He's got more. He's still on his feet. He's working it to the outside. He's down the sideline. 20, 15. Hit down around the 10, inside the 10. Maybe down to the 6-yard line. Big number four, Wes Hills on the move.
Yeah, this guy is tough to bring down. He is a physical, aggressive runner. He can make you miss with his feet, but he can also plow you right over. And right there, just exploding through the gap with some power, able to, again, see the field, knows where to go. He's a really well-accomplished running back. He does a lot of things well.
Down to the 6-yard line. It'll make it first and goal, Slippery Rock.
First and goal. And then we're going to get a timeout for Clarion.
Clarion going to call their second timeout of the opening half at the 8:58 mark. We'll take a break. It's 3-0. In favor of Clarion, but the Rock threatening. When we return after this 30-second timeout, you're listening to Slippery Rock University football on the Rock Station 97.7.
Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City is more than just an oil change. Hey, Ken Frenchak here, operations manager from the Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City. We offer a full line of services. We change your oil with no appointment necessary. We can also help you with your transmission service, fuel service, cooling system, and power steering, light bulbs, and replacement of those wipers. And no appointment is ever needed. We top off all your fluids, check your tire pressure, and much, much more. So stop in at the Valvoline Express Care and Car Wash of Grove City, locally owned and operated. Drive in, drive out, and you'll be on your way. It's that easy.
Tim Suave here at Slippery Rock University, D lineman. You're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station.
And we are back here. It'll be a first and goal for Slippery Rock. They are down to the Clarion 6-yard line, and it's been all Wes Hills moving the ball from across midfield down to the 6. And he's going to be behind Roland Rivers, who's now in the pistol. He looks for the end zone. Once Henry Litwin, who's hit before he gets to the ball, and there's going to be flags all over this one.
Yeah, they had one-on-one coverage. Henry Litwin just coming across the middle. The defender had no chance, so he just decided to drag him down, which is not a bad plan if you're a cornerback. Rather than let up the touchdown, hey, tackle the guy in the end zone. The worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to move the ball up a few yards.
And the Rock going to inch it closer to the first down marker here. And,
they're going to get it on Clarion, so they move it up to the 2-yard line. Just stick with Wes Hills here. You know, don't try to get creative. Don't try to get cute. This guy's put together this drive for you. Give him the opportunity to find the end zone.
Here we go. We're going to bring in the double back offense now. And here's Rivers, hands off to Jakar Berry. And Berry gets in for the touchdown.
Wes Hills.
Or was it Wes? Okay. I looked up late, and we had Wes Hills and Jakar Berry in the backfield, but it was Wes Hills with the carry, and just as you called, deservedly so, that whole drive was all Wes Hills. So the Rock gets it in for 6 and take a 6-3 lead.
I like the play design. You had Jakar Berry in that loaded backfield. You fake off. You fake the handoff to him coming up the middle, and then Wes Hills just takes it to the outside. There was not a soul on him. He was able to walk into the end zone. Actually, he did walk into the end zone, which was probably not a great idea because there was a Clarion defender trying to chase him down. Just get across the goal line and get the 6 points.
6-yard touchdown carry, or actually 2-yard, I'm sorry, after the penalty. And here's the snap from the hold of Mike Murhat. That kick is up and good, and the streak continues for Jake Chaplin as well. And the Rock has now put up the first 7 on their side of the scoreboard. The Rock leads it now 7-3 over Clarion, 8:51 mark of the second quarter. We're back with the kickoff in a moment on the Rock Station 97.7.
Looking for a great price on a clean, dependable pre-owned car? Then head to Honda North. Browse over 7,000 pictures of our used car inventory easily at HondaNorth.net. Every pre-owned car undergoes a 182-point inspection and comes with free Carfax report. And buying from Honda North comes with benefits, free PA state inspections, free service loaner cars. And at Honda North, every fifth oil change is free. Buying a pre-owned car is a big deal. At Honda North, we'll help you find the right car for you. Honda North, more cars, lower prices. Just try us.
You're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station, 97.7.
So Big Wes Hills scoring the Rock's first touchdown of the day, and it comes early part of the second quarter here. We're just under 9 minutes remaining in the opening half, and the Rock has taken their first lead of the day. And we'll see what happens from here, but the Rock up 7-3. Wes Hills with the touchdown. And that was all him on the
And he's been running well all game. And, you know, like I said, sometimes when you have 0 points on the board, offensive coordinators get a little itchy. They want to get some points, and they want to get them quickly. Just be content with running the ball with Wes Hills for a while is not a bad idea. And Chapla finally gets a boot into one, Bob, gets it into the end zone.
So it'll be a touchback. And Clarion will start out first and 10 at their own 25-yard line. So the Rock, a basic three-play 55-yard drive in a minute 20, and it was all Wes Hills carrying the 55 yards.
Oh, and again, runs downhill. You know he's going to fall forward, so even if he gets back to the line, except in one case whenever he got held up on the fourth down and wanted to try. But for the most part, he's going to fall forward and get you almost 2 yards every single time. Love starting with it on first down. And once you start to establish that run game, that's what's going to open up this passing game. If Roland Rivers wants to throw like he did last week, it's all going to be because Wes Hills establishes the run.
Here's first and 10, Clarion. Tight end goes in motion, settles up right for a blocking, and McGriff is going to be snowed under big time by the Rock. Another tackle for a loss, and Trey Blanford coming in. It looked like
there was a host of white
jerseys. Yeah, Jeff Marks and Tim Suave, Jeff Marks in there as well. So another tackle for a loss.
They're just getting past.
Have a half dozen now.
Yeah, they're getting past Clarion's offensive line, just giving absolutely no opportunity for McGriff to have any room to run. I mean, once he gets the ball from Clemens, he's just met by a bunch of white jerseys.
Loss of 4 on the play. Wes Hills, by the way, now 7 carries for 79 yards today. Here's the second down and long. Clemens is going to dump it off to McGriff out of the backfield. He's got some running room. He dives for the pylon, and he's going to get it. Or they say he goes out of bounds, just shy of it, so it'll set up a third and short. It depends on the spot. I think they're going to spot it at the 32-yard line, so it'll be a pickup of 11 and set up a third and short.
Oh, he stepped out early, yeah. So the Rock there sending two members of the secondary, cornerback safety blitz off the right side. That allowed McGriff to go one-on-one with Timmy Vernick, who snuck out into coverage. That's the matchup that Clarion wants to have. A nice pass by Clemens was able to hit McGriff in stride, but McGriff stepping out of bounds early means we got a third down in about three.
And now they're going to stack up that backfield with running backs to each side of Clemens. He'll take the snap, and he drops back to pass. Has time. Now he's going to be wrapped up, and he escapes. Gets rid of it, and it's almost picked off by Kyle Hall, but instead is scooped up by number 81 for Clarion, that being Mark Lewis II, who lucked out and gets the first down. As Kyle Hall, second time in 2 weeks, he drops an interception, and that one might have been a pick six.
Yeah, I don't think there was anybody in front of him, but just a bad break for Slippery Rock, a well-timed defensive play by Kyle Hall. He just couldn't pull in the catch, and just big luck for Glaring to have Mark Lewis waiting right there to get the tip ball past the chains, and they pick up a first down.
And that is the second time here in really the last 10 minutes of this game the Rock has missed an interception opportunity, one not their fault. Here's play action. Clemens throws downfield, has a man, it's caught, and that's going right back to Mark Lewis II. He's got a first down deep into Rock territory, down to the 22-yard line.
Now, this is what you wanted Jeff Clemens to do for Clarion. You know, Slippery Rock said, go ahead and try to beat us through the air because they've stopped the run game. Clemens just throwing a nice ball, hitting his wide receiver Lewis in stride. You can't tip your cap to Clemens on that play.
Not the 23, sorry, it was the 28 inside the 30, though, and they're deep into Rock territory. Clarion hitting the big pass play, and now it's first and 10. Here's the snap, and they're going to go hand off. McGriff, he goes up through the middle and escapes for a moment, gets across the 35 down to the 23. He'll pick up five.
Yeah, McGriff really averaging close to about a yard per carry, finally able to find a little bit of room to run. Like I said, the Rock have done a nice job all day just preventing him from seeing any daylight. This time he was finally able to hit a gap and pick up a few yards.
It'll be 6 yards to go for that first down now. 24-yard line is where the ball is spotted. Here's the snap to Clemens with a sidecar right of McGriff. He drops back. Here comes the pressure. He's got to get rid of it. Gets it out toward an intended receiver. I don't know if that was a tight end. It was. And it's going to be incomplete.
Simple stun up front opened up Tim Suave just to explode through the offensive line. He came in untouched. That means Clemens had to force a pass a little bit early. Wasn't really where he wanted to go. At least he didn't have the time to set and throw. And give Eric Glover-Williams credit. Did a nice job in the flats on coverage.
Maverick Kelsey, the intended receiver, he couldn't pull it in. It was a nice job by Clemens to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is incomplete. Sets up a third and six now for Clarion. They're going to split trip receivers up top. Now McGriff going to go up to the slot and empty the backfield. Here comes the pressure. Clemens has to escape. He's hit. He gets away from a tackler, but here comes a penalty flag. I think they're going to get a hold.
Mm-hmm.
And was that Jeff Marks that was being held back there?
No, I believe
no.
It was
43.
Yeah. Jamon Boone was in there.
Yeah. Jonathan Boone. Jonathan Boone with Clarion getting caught with the hand in the cookie jar there, so that's going to benefit the Rock and make it an extended third down. And they'll repeat the third down here, make it a little longer, push it out to spot the ball about the 34 now. So they've got to get inside the 20 to the 18 for the first down. So big penalty there against Clarion.
Third and 16.
And here comes Jeff Clemens. He'll bring his guys to the line. He'll be in the shotgun, sidecar right, trip receivers up top. Here's the snap. Looks to throw. He's going to screen pass it to McGriff, who's immediately hit and dropped by Eric Glover-Williams.
Eric Glover-Williams doing a great job shaking off his corner, or the wide receiver he was going up against. They were trying to get him engaged on a block. Shook him off, was able just to get back in the flats. A nice form tackle on McGriff. Really solid play by the newly turned cornerback for the Rock.
Would have been interesting to see with that trip receiver set. They had a safety playing back off. If he was able to hit something real quick, he might have had some room to get that first down, but instead chose to go to the screen, and it sets up a punting situation for Clarion. So the Rock going to get the ball back here at the five-minute mark of the second quarter. They're up 7-3. Here comes the boot. It's high, and waving it off is Eric Glover-Williams. This is going to take a nice Rock bounce into the end zone, and it'll be a touchback. And Slippery Rock will start out first and 10 after the punt. So the defense settling things down here, and, of course, a Clarion penalty really aiding the killing of that drive.
Yeah, and then you also go back to the missed opportunity interception by Kyle Hall. Had a chance to play takeaway, just was not able to secure it, and that gave Clarion a second chance at life. And remember, that even happened on the third down, so the Rock could have got the ball back a little bit earlier. But that drive was extended. Rock doing another nice job defensively. Hey, they've only allowed 3 points so far today. I think this is really coming down to his time of possession. Chris Weibel knows, hey, again, the more we eat clock, the more Slippery Rock doesn't have the ball.
Here's Big Wes Hills. He's going to take the handoff. He's got a running room out to the outside. He's got a first down and more. Crosses the 35, goes out of bounds at the 37-yard line, a gain of 17.
Talked again about winning the battle in the trenches. Wes Hills is a very good runner, but the Slippery Rock offensive line is giving him room to run. Right now, just bouncing that to the outside. They were able to get a nice seal. They were set the edge. Bounce to the outside, another big pickup.
And he approaches 100 yards now. I think he's just three shy. Here's a handoff again. He's got that 100 yards across the 40, out to the 42, maybe the 43. Let's see. We're kind of split between our spot. But nonetheless, a good first down carry. It'll set it up second and 5.
Yeah, another nice push by the guys on the right side. Colton Robb able to explode through and give Wes Hills some room to run. Hey, there's nothing better than getting 4 or 5 yards on a first down.
Big Wes Hills, of course, has the touchdown that the Rock scored. Roland Rivers now, and he's just going to hand it off again. No, he's going to play action fake, and he's going to keep it. And he's got the first down himself, big number 14. And there's that threat that you talk about, that dual threat in the backfield. Everybody targeting Wes Hills. I momentarily thought he had the ball, but it was number 14 going to the outside and picking up the first
down.
And
Rivers does a nice job of waiting to the last moment to either decide to hand it off or take it. And so there's a good nonverbal communication going on between Rivers and his running backs, but he's also doing a nice job of reading the field, and that's exactly what you want to have happen. Everybody starts to focus in on Wes Hills, and then all of a sudden you've got a guy about the same frame and athleticism that can run just as well.
And he picks up 12. And here's Wes Hills now, and he goes forward and piles his way across the 45 down to the 44. Pickup of just 4, but it was an exciting 4.
Yeah, the Lane Scundrich, he's the Mike linebacker for Clarion. Wes Hills just pointed him out and dove right into him. There was no need for him to either try to juke or spin move. It was, I'm going to lodge right into 31's chest, and we'll pick up a few more yards.
Henry Litwin is alone up top. You have receivers split to the near side, being Carnell Harley and Jermaine Wynn, and it's play action, and they hit Litwin across the middle. He avoids a tackle and is still on his feet across the 25. Dives forward now as containment comes in to the 20-yard line. Great hitch route by Henry Litwin, number 11.
Litwin just has reliable hands. Roland Rivers knows if he gets it in the vicinity of number 11, he's going to bring the ball down. A little RPO action there as Rivers was holding on to it to see if he would get the one-on-one coverage that he wanted. He found it and delivered a nice strike to Henry Litwin.
And he runs it up to 25 yards, down to the 19. First and 10, Slippery Rock, 2:50 mark of the second quarter. They're up 7-3 and marching. Wes Hills, sidecar left, double receivers, up top. Here's the snap. Play action. He wants the end zone. He's got a man wide open. That is somebody they're going a whole lot to lately. Number 18 for Slippery Rock, Zach Cirillo. We've seen him used a lot in recent games, and he's hit pay dirt again.
Justin Roper, the offensive coordinator for the Rock, incorporating the tight end into the offense a little bit more. It's not that they go to him all the time, but he's a nice weapon to have. They go just a pure shotgun formation, send Cirillo out, and he was really left uncovered. Everyone had focused in on the three wide receiver set the Rock threw out there, including Wes Hills. And so when you have linebackers focus in on number 4, that allowed the tight end just to roam free.
Here's the extra point try by Jake Chapla, and it's up and good. And the Rock has taken a 14-3 lead, and let's be honest, the run game set that very play up. Of course, the Litwin pass across the middle. But great job by the Rock, and they take a 14-3 lead now. And we'll take a 30-second timeout and come back with more. And the kickoff, it's Rock Football on the Rock Station, 97.7 FM.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
This is Wes Hills, running back for Slippery Rock University, and this is Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
Well, the Rock has taken a 14-3 lead now, so after a very sluggish start by the offense, they've put together their last two series and have put 14 points on the board to take control of the game at the moment, as we are getting set for the kickoff with 2:38 to go in this opening half. And, boy, Wes Hill's having himself a game, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's going up against a defense that hasn't allowed a 100-yard rusher all this year, yet here we sit in the second quarter, and he's over the century mark. Wes Hill's just doing a nice job. And, again, you give credit to the offensive line as well. They're creating gaps for Hills to run.
Got a little bit of a collision fighting for the ball on the kickoff, but it is reined in by Scott Florence, who carries it across the 20 and is out of bounds at about the 22-yard line. And good containment by the Rock that time. Two Clarion guys tried to get to the ball quickly. 2:31 mark, and we've got a timeout on the field as Clarion will take possession of the ball here and now trail by 11.
This is a big drive for Clarion because they began the game with the ball. And so if they're not able to find points here, they could be giving it back to the Rock potentially twice, whatever happens here at the end of the half, and then Slippery Rock would get it to begin the second half as well. If Clarion wants to hang around in this game, they're going to need to find the end zone on this drive.
They'll go to the double back offense, and Clark will go into motion as they hand it off to McGriff. And he gets 2 yards across the 25 to the 26, we'll say 3 yards actually on first down.
If you're, again, containing McGriff to just those yards that he's picking up, maybe two, maybe three, you're winning that battle. Again, Sean Lutz told us coming into this game, they need to stop the run and allow Jeff Clemens to try to beat them. Clemens has made some plays right now through the air, but not enough to find the end zone.
So they'll go with the double back look again. Usually they're putting a guy in motion out of that. This time they do not. They just take the snap and they hand it off to Florence. No, they play action and throws it out of bounds. McGriff was trying to break to the outside. We've seen that a couple of times where they've tried to set up the short pass or the screen pass,
yeah,
and Clemens just lets it fly out of bounds.
And I'm not sure if that was intentional or not, to be quite honest with you. They ran two streak patterns on both sides of the field, so they cleared that out looking for the underneath because McGriff was the only other option that Clemens had to pass. And maybe you're right, maybe he was looking to turn it upfield to get a floating pass from Clemens, but Clemens just overthrew him in the flats, and again, not sure if he threw it away to try to avoid taking any more time or a sack, and maybe he was just out of options.
Devon Holt going to be on the near side, covered by Mark Cotter, and it's 3rd and 7. And they sent Jackson in motion to the near side. And it's going to be play action. He looks inside, has a man. That's number 16, pulled in by Isaiah McNair, and he's got the first down as he hits the 40-yard line, a gain of 14.
Rock sending delayed pressure. That meant Tim Vernick came up the middle late. They had the inside slot guy they wanted. He was really left uncovered, and Jeff Clemens able to throw a strike right on the inside. So the Rock trying to get risky by sending the blitz, and Clarion taking advantage of it.
1st and 10, Clarion, as the clock is at 1:31. Now some confusion in the backfield, and they actually empty it with both running backs going into the slot. Now here comes the pressure. Clemens going to escape. Then he's going to be tripped up. It looked like Trey Blanford might have got a hand on it, and he did. He got a hand on the ankle, and it was just enough to trip up Clemens, and it'll be a sack by Trey Blanford.
Yeah, nice job by the front four getting a push and continuing to keep the motor running. Trey Blanford doing a nice job to just reach out. Clemens almost escaping, but Blanford able to bring him down.
So that sets up a 2nd and 13 after they lose the yardage on the sack. Clemens will have sidecar left in McGriff. Here's the snap, and he's just going to play action again and hit across the middle, high and incomplete, as he tried to hit McNair again across the middle, just didn't thread the needle that time. Very quickly here now, it will be 3rd down and long.
Yeah, you had McNair going up against Tyree Spearman, and McNair actually beat his guy. That pass was high by Jeff Clemens. If he throws that on the target, they may be able to get close to the first down marker.
This Clarion team proving, well, they're not a doormat.
No, they're not. No. They're a very scrappy team.
And they've got some talent out there, so we'll see what happens here on 3rd and 13. You've got 47 seconds remaining to halftime. Here's the snap by Clemens. Are they going to play it safe? They are. They're going to hand it to McGriffin. He goes right into the pile. Initially is hit for a negative yardage, but it looks like he got back a couple of yards, actually. And it'll be a fourth down, and the Rock quickly going to take timeout with 40 seconds left. Might as well. You never know what's going to happen with field position.
Yeah, hey, we've seen this Slippery Rock offense score very quickly. And as I mentioned earlier, you get the ball at halftime. If you're able to get down here, yeah, I was going to say, they took it about at 42, so they're going to put a few more ticks on this clock. But you got a strong kicker in Jake Chaplow. You know, opportunity to take a few shots down the field, get close to field goal range, and you could be trying something like a 50-yarder if you wanted.
Well, and the way the wind is blowing right now, we talked about it being kind of swirly in this end of the field right now. They're in the field portion to our left if you're looking at your radio dial. But the way the wind is blowing right now really looks like it might aid a kick into that scenario. It'd be toward the Clarion scoreboard here at Memorial Field or Memorial Stadium. So back deep for the Rock. Is going to be, is that Jermaine Wynn standing back deep? He'll receive the kick, and we'll see what happens with regard to about 40 seconds. Well, we'll see how long the play takes, but could have a good 35 or so. See how fast it goes. Low snap, pulled up, and very quickly kicked to the upside, and he's going to have to let it go. Now he's going to pick it up. It kicked right to him, and he dives right down at the 25, so that does take about 9 seconds. And Jermaine did a nice job getting down very quickly on that. So it'll be first and 10, Slippery Rock at their own 26.
Smart play to catch the ball after a few bounces, too, because I think that thing would have kept rolling inside the red zone. So he was able to pick it up, just went down quickly. 33 seconds. I still think it's worth to take a shot down the field. Or maybe if you just want to give it off to Wes Hill, see if he can pick up some yards. You've got some options.
Well, big Wes Hill so far today, 10 carries, 106 yards. And he'll come out in the backfield. They'll split receivers to each side, two each side, sidecar right. Sidecar right for Roland Rivers. He's going to look to throw. Now he's going to pull it down and run. He's got some running room. He's going to try to kick it to the outside and get to the sideline. He's going to get the first down as he goes out of bounds, right at the marker. Let's see where they spotted. He might be a yard short.
I think he's a yard short, but a nice pickup. Did it in about 8 seconds. And so now you're starting to get near, it's not near field goal range, but you feel you got a decent chunk out of it. You got two timeouts in your pocket, so you can use the whole field. They got options if they want them.
Smart play by Roland Rivers. Yeah. They take some yardage, knew it was going to open up for him.
And actually,
25
they gave
seconds
him the
to
first
go.
Down.
Well, okay. Well, we'll give him 10 then. Dropping back to pass. Throws it to the outside, coming back for it and catching it. Did he hold on to it, Carnell Harley? Did he get it? With a, yeah, he did. And he can pick up 8 on that play.
Oh, they stopped the clock.
Did we have an inadvertent whistle again?
No, they just... The clock probably should be reset to like 18.
We've got a timeout on the field because I don't think he got out of bounds first and foremost.
The official on the far side was going...
Well, there's a big discussion of what's going on. But anyway, a good 8-9 yards on the grass.
Nice catch by Harley.
Yeah, he did a nice job coming back for it, and the throw was a bit low. And he went down and grabbed it. Number 23 has really done a nice job. He's emerging very solidly.
16 seconds, please.
16.
16 seconds.
All right, so they reset the clock. And not sure if Slippery Rock called a timeout.
The ball was caught out of bounds, is what the official ruled. He came over after the catch, going hands up in the air.
Okay, well, let's say it's second and two, but that's not so much meaningful at the moment as the Rock nearing midfield. They're at their own 45 now with about 16 seconds to play with. Here's the snap. Play action. Looking downfield, Rivers wants it all. Has Austin Scott all by himself, and he's hit right before he
there
grabs
it. Is.
Here comes the flag. He was hit right. Well, that was a good play by Clarion defense because it was going to be first and 10, about the 13-yard line if he catches it. But if he continues on, he might have had the touchdown. But nonetheless, it was taken away from him by the Clarion defense.
It was awfully close. Chris Gildea coming over tried to time it wherever Scott. It was a close timing play. Gildea's upset with the call. I honestly could have seen that going either way. I thought it was pass interference. I thought it was the right call, but it was very, very close.
So it's going to give the Rock a first down, and that leaves just about 9.7 seconds on the clock.
So let's see. 15 moves us to about the 40.
Yeah, they'll march it back to the 45. Now take it across midfield down to the 40. And again,
two
you have 9 seconds. You really only have one
maybe
one
two.
Good. Scenario play, unless you're doing a real quick hitter.
which may not be a bad idea. If you can get a timing route to the right side, that's where they have Harley.
Well, let's see what happens as they snap the ball. Roland Rivers, he wants Harley. Now he looks away. Now he's going to dump it across the middle. Austin Scott has it. He needs to go down quick. He's running to the 10. 2 seconds on the clock. He's still on his feet, and he's going to be dragged down inside the 5, and
man,
that's going to run the clock out.
You got to know as a wide receiver what you're working with. 9.7 seconds on the clock. You have to know to go down. If you're not getting a touchdown, you got to fall to the ground and have an opportunity for your team to get points on the board. I understand that you want to try to get all the yards you can or try to find the end zone. You got to know what's going on, and that means going to the ground right after you catch it.
So that is going to end the half, and the Rock will go into the locker room with a 14-3 lead. So they could have added maybe three more. Would have been a tight squeeze, but nonetheless, it's not going to work out. So they move the ball down into territory and run out of time, into field goal territory, that is. He was trying to squeeze his way into the end zone and just ran out of gas. So we run out of time on the clock. It's all at zero. We'll take a break, come back, and recap an interesting first half. But fortunately for the Rock, they come away with a 14-3 lead at halftime here at Memorial Stadium in Clarion, and we'll be back to recap Rock football on the Rock Station 97.7.